Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of TechNet Radio. We're in episode number 4 of our series on accelerating DevOps with the cloud using Microsoft Azure and friends. And we've got a special treat today. We have one of our developer technical specialists, Jeff Vadek, here with us today to talk all about source control in the cloud. Hey Jeff, how are you today?
Doing all right, Keith. How you doing?
Great, great. Well, thanks for joining us.
Sure.
Great. Well, Jeff, before we get started, do you want to give everybody a brief background on yourself, who you are, what your role is, your kind of your technology background and whatnot?
Sure, sure. So Jeff Vadek, I've been at Microsoft for about 2.5 years now. I've been in development for just short of 20 years, though. So been different roles from consultant to enterprise developer. Just all different kinds of things, manager at one point even. So I've been on the dark side. But kind of just love writing code and just trying to help customers do that now. Just, you know, really making them, enabling them to be faster and more agile. So
sure. Yeah, definitely. And I know when we think about the cloud and a lot of customers beginning to consider or perhaps in the process of migrating to more of a DevOps related approach to bring their ops and developers together, the conversation around Visual Studio Online has been coming up more and more. And I think, at least on the IT pro side, I don't know on the developer side, there's a lot of confusion around what Visual Studio Online is and isn't. Can you help to clear that up for us?
Sure, sure. So really, it's kind of funny. So Visual Studio is a client tool that developers use today. It's our integrated development environment, or IDE. And what Visual Studio Online is not is Visual Studio, the client tool, online. It has nothing to do with that. So it is a little confusing, but it is a set of 4 services catering to development teams. So not just developers, but anyone, QA, IT pros, all kinds of different people. So.
Oh, wow. Okay. So when we talk about Visual Studio Online, unlike Visual Studio, it's not specifically just for developers. Even IT pros have some value in Visual Studio Online.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, before, you know, the first few iterations of it was really just a collaboration hub when it came to IT pros, so they could get together with a greater team. But we have since added several features catering specifically to them, and you'll see more and more of that rolling out. So.
Okay, great. And so I know, you know, we've had effective source control and release management solutions for years in the on-premises world for a lot of organizations around TFS and the whole cadre of solutions. How does Visual Studio Online differ from TFS?
Yeah, so there are some things we can take advantage of being a cloud-hosted version of TFS that we can't do on-prem, and vice versa. There are some things we can only do on-premises. And so there are lots of different sort of feature parity pieces right now. We are working hard to, you know, make that as parity as possible. But again, there's just certain things we can do better in other places. And sort of a good example of that is today, Visual Studio Online lacks any kind of Active Directory integration. Just because Active Directory, federated services, and things like that, we're fairly new when we started the service. And it's taken us a while to incorporate all that. But what Visual Studio Online gives you in exchange, if you will, is the ability to wire up and send invites to people that aren't in your organization. So if you're working with like third-party contractors or outsourcing particular parts of work, that makes that, you know, I just need a Microsoft account. So so there's some things we can do in, you know, that on-prem TFS can't as well.
Oh, okay. That's pretty exciting. And I know lots of organizations are starting to think about hosting either existing applications or new solutions that they're developing up in the cloud using platform technologies like our Microsoft Azure cloud platform. How does Visual Studio Online and Microsoft Azure, how can they work together to help organizations accelerate that solution delivery process?
Yeah, so the sort of ancestry of Visual Studio Online has been Visual Studio, which is all about productivity. The whole reason it exists is to make developers more productive. And so Visual Studio Online lets us extend that reach, again, beyond developers, and make the whole team more productive. And one of those is, of course, integrating with the cloud services that we have in Azure. So it's really easy for us to, say, automate a build of an application and send that build to a build server in the cloud, which is one of the services in Visual Studio Online. That'll spin up a virtual machine for us, do our build, and then shut it down automatically. So we just have to pay for that short usage span. And then we can automate the deployment of that to our destination, be that in Azure or on-prem or what have you, so that application can deploy automatically, hands-off if I want, or with an approval process if I need that. And then I can run tests, automated tests, to make sure the app and all the deployment went well, and include monitoring, which is another one of the services in Visual Studio Online for application insights. That'll help monitor and give me more insight into what's happening with my application on the destination machine.
Wow. Well, that sounds pretty exciting. I know from an IT pro perspective, there's lots of organizations that have developed a pretty substantial on-premises infrastructure to do some of the things that you talked about. It seems like there's significant opportunity for those organizations to save a lot of money by running those pieces on demand, only when needed, up in the cloud, for things like the build and load testing that you described and whatnot. Is that what you're seeing as well with a lot of the customer interest?
Yeah, so there's two sort of big initiatives I'm seeing from customers and our bigger enterprise customers. One is the faster, tighter release cycles. So they want to do more quickly, get things out to customers, do that whole loop, feedback loop. But additionally, they have to do it in such a way that it's not easy. So it's not easy to set up all that stuff I just mentioned with your on-prem resources. You have to be fairly specialized in some things. And so if we can take some of that away and let customers focus on what they do best, their core offerings, that enables a much better scenario for all of us. So those kind of two things collide nicely with Visual Studio Online's offering.
Oh, great. And for a lot of the organizations, startups, and developers that I talk to that are beginning to leverage Azure as their cloud platform, when they talk about source control, I also hear a lot of them mentioning some other source control solutions like Git or GitHub or other open source solutions. How does Visual Studio Online, how is it different or better than Git or GitHub? Or do I still need to use Git or GitHub with Visual Studio Online? How does that all compare?
Yeah. So Git, especially Git, is a good example here, is really just source control. And that's only one of the features in Visual Studio Online / Team Foundation Server. There are so many other things it can do. Source control is super important, but it's really only important to developers. What we want to enable is, you know, I can check in code as developer, but associate that check-in with a bug fix. And that bug fix is something that my QA team needs to know, oh, well, these are the bugs that are resolved in this latest build. And we wire all that together. And then my stakeholders and ops can have insight into that whole pipeline of, you know, where's this fix at? Where's this new feature? How close is it to getting done? Is it in QA? And there's all kinds of other features there beyond just the source control. However, the Git piece, especially like GitHub, is a service like Visual Studio Online, but providing source control as a service, and it's more public focused. So if you want to share code very publicly, then GitHub is great. But most of our enterprise customers don't want to share their intellectual property with the public. And so Visual Studio Online sort of been designed from the beginning as a private repository. So it's a little more secure, focused, more about just sharing with the people that you invite in.
So. Okay. It's more aligned towards traditional enterprise development needs, being more secure and private, having the ability to invite people in that you want to have access to that, and then also having full end-to-end support of, sounds like, the entire application lifecycle management capabilities instead of just focusing on source version control, right?
Yeah, I'd say source control is only maybe a 12th of what we have out there in the service, right? So it's an important piece. We invest a lot in source control, and we do provide, with Visual Studio Online, centralized version control or a Git option. So you can do either one if you like, you know, more of a peer-to-peer sort of code sharing with Git, or if you like traditional centralized control. But again, that is just a small part of the whole offering there.
The whole offering, wow. Okay. And I know as a cloud service, Visual Studio Online has been rapidly gaining new features, capabilities on almost, it seems like, a monthly or semi-monthly basis. What are some of the exciting new features that you're most excited about that have been released lately?
Yeah. So we're on with Visual Studio Online, we're on about a three-week cadence. So there is a new release to the public about every 3 weeks. Visual Studio a little bit less so and other things like that. But some of my favorite features are the inclusion of release management. At TechEd, just recently, we announced that now you can, with Visual Studio Online, use our release management services. So you have an approval workflow to move your applications from dev environments to QA to production. And it's a hands-off scenario where, as a dev, I can put my app build out there, trigger it through a TFS build maybe, and then QA, once I say it's okay for QA, QA can then go in and say, all right, I'm ready to take that build into my environment, and I don't need to contact dev to do anything. And so dev gets to stay in the context of working on new features or new bug fixes, and QA can just pull stuff in on demand, and the same works for prod. And so for me, that's super exciting. Just another productivity efficiency gain.
Yeah, definitely. It seems like it really helps to pull the entire set of team members together in the solution delivery process instead of the siloed dev versus QA versus operations teams that a lot of organizations have traditionally had. That's great.
The same thing works for prod too. So at the end, you know, once QA says it's ready to go, we may go through many builds, fails and successes, but once QA says it's ready to go is when ops can say, all right, great, we have a new build from QA, let's approve that. And then that'll automatically deploy to our environment that we manage and monitor, maybe differently than the other environments.
Wow.
Very cool.
So if an IT organization's looking to get started with Visual Studio Online and Azure, is it difficult to get started? Can they spin things up pretty quickly to help themselves jumpstart?
It's super easy and probably free. So if we want to take a look at that, I'm happy to show that.
Yeah, that sounds great. In fact, let's jump over into the lab and take a look at it together, if you can show that.
Sounds good. All right, so Keith, let me show you first our visualstudio.com site. So this is where you'll go to learn more about Visual Studio Online. And right here at the top is a Get Started for Free. So you'll simply click this, and it'll get you started setting up a Microsoft account if you don't already have one. And if you do, you can just sign in, and we'll assign a Visual Studio Online account to you.
Oh, great.
Now, it's not just for you, so, I mean, that's just one piece of it. Obviously, you're going to want other people in there to really check it out. And so here, if I right-click on this Visual Studio Online overview of user plans, I can open that in a new tab and show you this first Visual Studio Online Basic, which is what you'll default to. And so you can see right here, 5 users free. There's additional charges for different levels of different sets of features, and there's different trials and things as well. But you can get started with 4 other people without paying anything.
Wow, that's great. That's great, Jeff. So it sounds like it's really easy to get started with Visual Studio Online. Once I sign up for a Visual Studio Online account, what does the user interface look like? How do I interact with Visual Studio Online?
Oh, okay, great. So first I'm going to sign in. You have to sign in with your account. So here now I'm signed in my JFATIC Microsoft account. And then you'll see a list of all the accounts I either own or I'm a member of. I'm going to click on the one I most commonly use here. And it'll take me to my initial dashboard page, which I have a lot of stuff going on, a lot of different projects and things. But you can see your recent projects on the left. I can see a team room, which is a great collaboration hub for all the different roles to go have a persisted conversation around things. These dashboards underneath the application insights column are where I'm monitoring different applications that I have deployed. In my case, all to Azure environments. But you can click on any of these, like an Agile sandbox maybe, and you can start diving into particular projects or teams within each one of these projects. In my case, I have a dashboard set up here for a variety of different projects under this one team project. And so I can start creating dashboards with different members you see down below, which are easy to invite. Just click Manage and then add whatever users you need to add. Tracking backlog work, adding in code, all that stuff can be done either through the IDE. You know, we want to keep developers in there, Visual Studio, for instance, or Eclipse if you're a Java developer. But if you're not a developer, just jumping in and looking at, you know, a whole bunch of user stories that you might have in your backlog or creating test cases, all that can be done through the same interface.
Wow. And I think I heard you say that so developers don't necessarily need to use Visual Studio as their development client to use Visual Studio Online. Is that true?
That's correct, yeah. So we have some nice integration out of the box with anything that's Eclipse-based as well. So a lot of Java developers use Eclipse and variants thereof.
Yeah.
So that's a really easy one. There are plugins for a variety of other products and tools out there. It just depends on what kind of developer you are. But yeah, pretty open.
Great. And then one of the areas that you had we had talked about earlier in the episode was being able to scale up and down for load testing and whatnot. Is that something you'd be able to show us as well?
Sure thing. So I'm just going to come out here to Visual Studio. This is where I create tests from as a .NET developer. So I'm going to come out here. I'm going to say File, New, Project. And if I jump into C#, maybe we'll go down here to Test. And I'm just going to create a web performance and load test project. Now, you should check it into source control. I'm going to skip that step just to save some time. We'll create this guy. Now, a web performance test can actually hit any number of web applications. You don't even have to own the application to create a web performance test of it. You just simply record different URLs. You have to enable a little plugin here. And then I can go out to, let's say, collectible web dot. Actually, we'll just do this. We'll do it even easier. And you can see I'm tracking all kinds of HTTP requests as I'm typing because it's calling out to Bing, in my case, and trying to do searches. So any HTTP request traffic will record for you. It's good and handy to put in comments as you go, just a nice little best practice there. You know, going to Bing site, for instance. And then once you're done recording any steps through your application, you stop it. And then you can further edit this test to be more specific to what you want it to do. So you can add in more HTTP requests or remove stuff like I might do here with all the noise that it recorded. Or I can put in more validation rules to have it do some functional testing, like make sure that a certain page returns a particular string or text on that page.
Gotcha.
And then once it's done, it's just a second here. There we go. And again, I might go clean this up. This one failed because I got a bunch of dynamic stuff in here, so we'll just kind of go all the way down. Got to look at this guy. And, oops, got a lot more at the top there. There we go. So I may just want to look at this smaller set of requests. But once I have this guy crafted the way I like him to, I can save it. And then I add a new load test. And I'm just going to walk through this really quickly because it's kind of a wizard thing. But I give it a name. I put in a number of users that I want to generate load for. And then I add my test in. This could have been a unit test as well. It doesn't have to be a web performance test. Add any number of browsers that I maybe want to map to. So maybe add in a few there. And then I put the duration for my test in here. We'll do something real quick for this demo. 1 minute, and I'll say finish. Now, what's nice about this, as soon as it finishes generating, is that I've got this, you know, fairly easy load test where I can simulate lots of users. However, in my environment with my on-prem resources as a development team, that means I might have to spin up several machines to represent the user load that I need, because my one machine is probably only going to be able to do maybe 200 users, depending on your test, how much resources you have. I need lots of other machines to do that, which means I have to go to my IC Pro guys and say, hey, I need lots of really beefy machines. And by the way, I only need them for like 20 minutes.
A great way to get that.
Yeah. So I'm sure they rush right out to help me with that. So that's tough. So we want to make that easier. And so one of the services in Visual Studio Online is this Elastic Load Testing service, where I can come in here, open up my local test settings. And if I'm already signed in to Visual Studio, which I am here, all I've got to do is switch this one radio button. So instead of using my local computer or our test controller on premises, I can just use Visual Studio Online, hit apply and close. And now when I run that load test, it'll actually run using virtual machines spun up in Azure for the duration of my test and then spin them back down. And I only pay for the virtual user minute. So if I do, 10,000 virtual users for 1 minute, that's 10,000 virtual user minutes. You get 15,000 virtual user minutes for free as part of Visual Studio Online every month. So you can do a good chunk of load testing without paying anything additional, which is really nice.
Well, Jeff, thanks for what a great demo. It really shows us the power of the cloud for developers, as well as helping to reduce the load from an IT pro perspective, you know, with the elastic load testing instead of scrambling around when our dev teams need to spin up a couple hundred unit tests or user connections for load testing. You can just have them leverage Azure to do that. That was great. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for the time.
Oh, yeah, sure thing. And thanks for joining us today. So today we talked about source control in the cloud, leveraging Visual Studio Online and Microsoft Azure with our good friend Jeff Fadick, one of our developer technology solution specialists. And I hope you'll all come back for future episodes. We're going to be talking more about Azure and Visual Studio Online from a DevOps and IT pro, a development perspective in this series. And if you're interested in learning more about what we've talked about today, also be sure to check out the resources that are listed down below at the bottom of our page. We've got Jeff's blog there, my blog, and we've also got a great online series that Jeff and myself and some others from our worldwide team around the globe are collaborating on to really step through more of the specifics around leveraging Azure and Visual Studio Online as a way of helping organizations accelerate their DevOps mission. So I hope you'll join us in future episodes and be sure to check those resources out as well. Thanks so much, everyone, for joining us today. Hope to see you in a future episode of TechNet Radio. Thanks, everybody.
Bye, all.